Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of Corn Podcast. I really hope this isn't your first episode. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
I'm Jay Clone 99.
And we're both sick with very different things.
Probably. I'm not sick. I'm just delayed.
It's the government trying to get us.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm sure they played some role in this.
I'm sure they did.
I'm sure there's some roundabout way, yes.
So, this episode was researched in a, like, a whatever I have, the flu or whatever, fugue state.
Uh-oh.
This will be fun.
Great. I spent all weekend not being able to talk. This is my first day having a voice again.
Almost broke your pinky.
Yeah, I know. I bent it over backwards.
It was stuck backwards.
It was stuck, for sure, backwards. Right at that middle knuckle. And I had to manually bend it back the right way. And now I can bend it again.
It's good.
It's not broken.
It's not.
Yep, that's the big thing. It's not broken.
At least you know.
No, I know it's not. I wouldn't be able to do the things I can do with it right now. And it would hurt a lot worse.
It would. That's how I was always told, is if you have to ask if it's broken, it's probably not.
Probably not, yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I've sprained my wrist once, and I've broken my wrist once. And I'd much rather take in the broken wrist any day over that sprained wrist, as far as the pain goes.
The pain level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the sprain healed a lot faster, but...
Just instantly hurts more.
Oh, it hurt 10 times worse.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, I think so.
We're going to talk about the Owlman of Cornwall, England.
Oh, in England. Across the pond, eh?
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, I don't know
what... I don't know what accent that was.
I think I mixed Australian and Canadian.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Both had a lot of...
I think that's a thing.
A lot of British...
I think that's an accent somewhere.
A lot of French in Canada, too.
Is like, what's right in the middle? Australia. So, like, people from Hawaii probably have an Australian-Canadian accent.
Don't think... Oh, between Australia and Canada? That yeah. Probably is the middle.
Yeah, it's probably... I'm sure there's one person in there.
It was somebody in Hawaii.
No, absolutely not.
Some Maori person.
Yeah. Sounds Australian-Canadian.
Do you remember anything about this, or have you ever heard of this? The Owlman of Cornwall?
No, I don't think...
You have, but...
I have?
Yeah.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
We talked about it just for a second in some of the Mothman stuff.
Oh, season one?
That and in the Chicago Mothman series.
Okay.
So, we didn't talk about it extensively whatsoever. Just like a mention that...
Okay.
There was an Owlman.
Gotcha.
In Cornwall.
Right, because the original Mothman was known as Owlman.
Yes.
And then they realized, oh, this is too much like the Batman thing.
Yeah. Because the newspapers they wanted something to sell. Because everybody remember Mothman, like Jay just said, was the Owlman or the Big Bird.
Yeah.
It was most of the time referred to as an avian of some kind.
But they landed on Mothman, and now he's forever known as Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to feel down, I said, Mothman.
Lift that kid off the ground, I say, hey, Mothman, swing your new friend around.
All right, let's get back to the show.
In the early year of 1976, in the dense forest surrounding Marin Old Church in Cornwall, England, there became a magnet of a diabolical beast that has been ordained the Owlman.
Mm.
1976.
That's not that long ago.
And it's not that long after 50, Mothman.
49 years ago.
It's not that long after Mothman.
Yeah, Mothman was 60...
Yeah, you may have to look it up. I can't remember when the bridge collapsed. Maybe 71.
71, I think you're right.
The majority of those who crossed paths with the creature asserted that it was a human-like in both size and design, and it had a pair of large wings, glowing, fiery red eyes.
Oh, gosh.
Claws, and exuded an atmosphere of menace, dread, and death.
Oh, so like the Green Goblin from the first Spider-Man movie. Basically, it sounds what it sounds like, except instead of red eyes, Green Goblin had yellow.
No wonder people make such parallels to North American Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
So before I continue, yeah, people always say this, and this fire red eyes, giant claws, these giant scary wings, man-sized, and then dread and menace every time somebody sees it.
Mm.
It's that aura, whatever you want to call it. We talk about everything from infrasound to just even your body just screaming at you.
Like
this
bad.
Is a predator.
Yeah.
Leave.
Wonder what, I mean, that's got to come, it's got to be a basic biological feature we have.
It has to. It's, I always say it like the lizard brain, which I don't truly believe in that theory.
Or like your sixth sense kind of thing.
Something like that. That there's that primal part of your brain being like, bad, leave. Yeah. That's going to eat us.
Your spiritual perception.
And yeah, it probably is that. So it all began during the weekend of?
Mothman Fest.
Easter. Which is about when this episode comes out.
You think they were having Mothman Fest in UK in 1976, you said?
Yeah, I don't think they were having it here yet.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Because a bunch of people died in a bridge.
Yeah, I guess that would be a little soon to have a festival. You know, now that I think about it, why? That is kind of a weird thing, right? They're having this festival celebrating...
Right next to one of North America's greatest tragedies,
yeah. Huh. All right, never mind.
Nobody ever remembers that part?
Right, yeah. Hmm. About what
Easter weekend.
Yes.
1976, when two young girls, June and Vicky, had an encounter with a truly nightmarish creature in the Marwen Woods. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing Marwen right.
It's British, so probably.
The girls were on their holiday with their parents, and they saw a gigantic, feathery beast hovering over a 13th century church. It was the story that their father, Don, angrily shared with a man named Tony. And I say angrily because Tony had noted that the local magician who was came to believe in somewhat entangled in the whole affair.
Okay.
So Don, the father of the two girls,
yeah,
was very upset and told this guy, Tony Shields, Doc is his name, and he was telling about the story of this giant monster that his two girls had seen.
Okay.
And he was pretty sure that this local magician had something to do with it.
Okay, gotcha.
So he was real upset
at this magician. Yeah, for unleashing this creature upon the town.
Yeah. Or as Shields himself would write, some trick that had badly frightened his daughters. Shields denied any involvement in the matter whatsoever. But it was only the start of things.
He's like, it wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
He's like, I saw you casting a new spell. It wasn't me. On you were standing on your sofa. It wasn't me. Are you chanting in the shower?
I love it. Somebody write that whole song.
Oh, gosh.
Another one who's seen the Owlman was Jane Greenwood, also a young girl. She wrote a letter to the local newspaper, the Plymouth Pocket, during the summer of 1976 that was detailed in her own startling encounter. I'm on a holiday in Cornwall with my sister and our mother. I too had seen the big bird thing. It was on Sunday morning. The place was in the trees near the church, above the rocky bench. There was a place there in the trees. It was in the trees standing, like a full-grown man. But the legs, they bent backwards like that of a bird. It saw us and quickly jumped up and rose straight through the trees.
We've heard
Mothman-esque, that not flapping.
Yes, just heard that about the legs, the bending backwards. Sounds familiar. It sounds like something else too. I can't put my finger on it yet, but maybe it'll come to me.
Maybe it will. Two 14-year-old girls, Shelly Campton and Barbara Perry, also had the misfortune to have a run-in with the Owlman in 1976. At around 10 p.m. while camping in the woods, they sat outside of their tent, making a pot of tea. The pair had heard a strange hissing sound. Upon looking around, they saw the infamous Owlman staring in their direction from a distance of about 60 feet. Sally said it was like a big owl with pointed ears, and it was as big as a man. These eyes were red and glowing, and at first I thought it was somebody dressed up playing a joke trying to scare us. I laughed at it. We both laughed at it. Then it went up into the air, and we both began to scream. When it went up, you could see its feet. And Barbara added, it's true, it was horrible. The nasty owl face with big ears and big red eyes. It was covered in gray feathers, and the claws on the feet were black. It just flew up and disappeared into the trees.
Black feet, huh? Or black claws, whatever.
Black claws, yeah. So far, you notice anything interesting about the witnesses?
They were frightened.
They're all young girls.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so there's a common denominator.
There's a lot with that.
What, just with this story, or?
With these encounters. They're just...
Okay.
It just always stuck out to me that there was, in this section of the encounters with the Owlman, it was almost entirely young girls that had a close look about it. Other locals had seen it, like, as they're going, driving by the church and stuff like that.
But the up-close encounter was...
Were almost always young girls.
Okay.
While there were rumors and additional sightings of the creature that immediately followed, it wasn't until the summer of 1988, so pretty much a decade later, that the Owlman had put an appearance that can be documented to a significant degree. In that case, there was a witness of a young boy dubbed Gavin by a friend in John Dowers. He had actually wrote an entire book called The Winged Monster, titled The Owlman and Others. Then him and his then girlfriend, Sally. The beast, Gavin told John, that was about 5 feet tall, had large feet, glowing eyes, and significantly sized wings. It was a shocking, awe-inspiring encounter that Gavin and Sally had never forgotten. As was in the case in the immediate post-1976 era, a few reports came in from the 1990s and the 2000s, having surfaced. Chiefly, however, they were from individuals who preferred not to go on the record. Something had led them understandably suspicious of fakery and hoaxing. But one of them could make a very good argument that going public about having seen a monster birdman in the English woodlands would not have been the wisest move to make. Today, and given ever closer to 40 years since the original encounter, this matter remains undeniably controversial than it was back then. For some researchers, Doc Shells is the man to blame. John Downs, however, suggests that something else had occurred. Namely, that Shields, dubbed the Wizard of the Western World, has profound knowledge of magic. And by that, I don't mean just pulling up some rabbits out of your hat. Like, we're talking like dark magic.
Right. Magic with a CK on the end.
Yeah. Where it involves blood.
Yeah. They're not so friendly type.
Talking most of the time, something ancient, something filled with swirling mysteries. There's a review of Doc's excellent book, Monstrum. Noted, Doc is the world that filled a deep understanding of the real nature of magic, both chaos and ritualistic. The secrets of innovations and manifestations, the strange realm just beyond, and the occasion to interact with them on our own, the trickster phenomena. Doc is also the domain where, when we dare to imagine the fantastic, we are then to decide to seek it out. We can finally accept it reality. We perhaps provide it with some quasi-existential existence.
I like that word.
Quasi-existential?
Yeah, or just quasi.
No, it's kind of like tulpa stuff.
Okay.
Kind of given this, it's kind of talking about like given the chaos form.
Right. Oh, yeah, I get it. At least I understand what you're saying when you, or what you mean when you say that kind of thing. Giving form to a shapeless
to the void
potential, yeah.
Perhaps talk, decidedly strange ways, really did play a role in the foundation of the Owlman legend. But such was the allure of the beast, it quickly stepped out of the world of imagination and storytelling and right into the hearts of the real world. And at least one point, be careful what you wish for,
mm-hmm.
lest you unleash it into reality, a monster that has no intention of returning to its original domain from when it was created, imagined, or and invoked.
Mm.
Now it comes to another aspect called the anomalous owls. In 2013, this is written by Nick Redfern. He had received an email from a woman now living in an English town of Lowestoft, something like that. Sorry, people. But who previously lived in Marwen, where the Owlman was seen in 1976, specifically in the town called Cornwall, in the village of Gweck. G-W-E-E-K.
Oh. Oh, that's just
not... Gweek?
Gweek. I wouldn't want to live there.
Gweck. A distance which, by car, is approximately 6.5 miles. It transpired that in 1998, she had a profound UFO encounter while taking the road from Marwen to Gweek. And after 11 p.m., the woman was driving home, visiting her friend in Marwen. She had barely left the little village when she saw what could only be described as a full-blown UFO, one that appeared on just the side of the road, around the size of a large beach ball and glowing extremely bright orange. Now think, you've already caught onto the backwards legs.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember UFOs appearing on the side of the road for drivers?
UFOs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know UFOs following cars, UFOs. Yeah,
we talk about that a lot.
Yeah, but appearing, I mean, no, more or less I think of like, you know, dogman encounters or Bigfoot encounters on the side of the road.
Yeah.
More or less, you know, their car pulls up, catches them off guard, or they're eating roadkill or something.
Yeah.
Not so much a UFO or this I'm more or less thinking of like an orb, like the orange orbs.
So this could be an orb. It's very large. Large beach ball is what she describes it as.
Yeah.
For at least what we kind of talk about, typical quote unquote orbs.
Or, you know, ball lightning. You know, whatever I don't know. Some orbs I think people see are big, like this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think they can be as big as this or all the way down to the size like a pencil eraser.
Yeah. Okay. I was getting some injured cold vibes.
Okay.
Because, like, he's using the UFO to stop the car to talk to him.
Yeah. Okay.
But, next thing she knew, she was parked at the side of the road. She's able to determine with no less than 2 hours of time had been unaccounted for. So she sees this ball of orange light glowing intensely. Next thing she knows, she wakes up. She's already pulled over. She's standing outside the car and 2 hours are gone.
So we had an abduction case here.
Something had happened, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something else. She came out of her groggy state. She caught sight of a huge owl-like monster, but which had somewhat humanoid characteristics attached to it. It was hovering in the air at a height of about 15 feet, but was not employing the use of its wings to keep aloft. Given the fact that it was practically on the doorstep of the Owlman that was seen back in 1976, the idea these two issues are unconnected are highly unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she has a full-blown encounter, UFO abduction maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And when she finally comes up, she looks up, and there's just this hovering owl monster.
Owl man.
And I know this wasn't a public episode, but the Ohio Stardust Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the owl monster that came out of an orb?
You're right, yeah.
A hybrid owl-human creature had come out of an orb.
Mm.
And that was a glowing yellow orb.
Much close enough. I mean, not too different at all.
Which is just weird. It's just weird to me. And then, you know, owls, UFO connections. We've done a couple episodes on that. So maybe it's not super weird because it's been forever, but...
Right, there's a link between them for as old as time.
The witness admits that she did know the Owlman legend. Living so close to Marwyn, it would be more astonishing if she hadn't heard of it in some way, shape, or form. There was little more she could tell beyond the facts surrounding the sighting of the curious ball of light, the period of missing time, and the appearance of the humanoid owl monster. So what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, it feels like she definitely got abducted or, you know, something happened where they put her in that state of hypnosis. That's the best way I can put it. Now, was the owlman a byproduct of that, or was that a coincidence? Did he show up after the fact? I don't know, but it's very interesting.
The next story involves a Scottish woman who shall be referred to as Maxine, who Nick Redfern had met in 2014. On a clear summer day in 2007, Maxine was walking her dog along the hills that overlooked Loch Ness when she saw what, from her description, could only be described as a classical gray alien. When she first saw it, it was a distance of a couple hundred feet. She assumed it was a young child, chiefly because of the short eyes. As she got closer, her and her dog froze on the spot. She could see what not only was it not a young boy, it wasn't even human. Maxine and the gray stared at each other for what just felt like a few seconds, after which it stretched out its arms. In an instant, it transformed what Maxine could best describe as an impossibly large owl, man-sized. It immediately took to the skies and headed across the loch at an extremely fast rate. Maxine continued to watch it with astonishment. The alien owl thing vanished into the trees on the opposite side of the loch. Maxine is 100% sure she did not experience missing time. She does not have any vague memories of being taken or any frustrations of any crafts. She is not plagued by graphic nightmares involving extraterrestrials. In fact, she's completely sure that she recalls the every exact second when she saw the small alien child literally shapeshift into the owl form.
Now, I wonder if it actually did shapeshift or if it put that like screen memory in her mind to make it her, that's what she saw. It's hard saying when it comes to grays like that, because we know stories, especially bringing up Daryl Sims, they'll put images in your mind and make you see what they want you to see so they can escape. But on the other hand, we also have this big connection with gray aliens and owls all the time. The eye shape or the head shape, there's just that connection between them two. So for someone to actually witness one turning into an owl and flying off, you know, I didn't really think that was part of the thing for grays to be able to actually shapeshift like that. Maybe it was a gray. Maybe it was something.
I think we talked about a different encounter with that same thing in the owls and the gray alien explanation episode.
Okay.
Where somebody else in the United States had witnessed an owl either, I can't remember now.
Turning into a gray or?
It morphed one of the ways.
Yeah.
Where it either turned into a gray or the gray turned into it.
So is the owl thing maybe just like a quick cover for it? But I guess obviously it flew off, so it uses it as transportation too, but. I don't know.
Their existence just made me more pliable.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Then I have a couple more sightings, and then we'll take our ad break. Then we'll kind of discuss what's going on here.
Okay.
All right. First one. It's in 2019, a paranormal investigator in Falmouth claimed to saw the Owlman, and he and his friend were attacked by it.
Okay.
Mark Davis was in a graveyard with his friend Chris Power of Manchester. Suddenly he heard a hissing sound coming from the trees, accompanied by a loud flapping noise. The sound seemed to pass right above their heads. At that moment, they saw a figure with horns on its head. They had a great alarm. When they were carrying a meter that used to detect electromagnetic energy, typically used for detecting ghosts, surprisingly received a cohort of responses to their questions through the meter. The occurrence indicates the presence of demonic energy, they say.
Okay.
Which made them feel extremely unsafe.
It would, naturally.
Their friend experienced an attack in the form of scratches up and down his arm. Mark claimed that the camera broke during the incident. Although he didn't see anything, he suddenly felt a surge of electrical energy. It wasn't until a half an hour later that they began to feel a burning sensation. And there is a photo of their owl man.
Ooh.
So if you go on to the, if you just type in their name, Mark Davis's Owlman photo.
Yeah.
You guys can see it at home. It's not great.
What do you mean it's not great?
I don't even have it in my notes. It's not good.
Like, it's just like a not good photo?
Yeah. It looks, I mean, it could be an Owlman attacking you, a demonic Owlman attacking you from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a bush.
A little different.
It could be an elephant.
Okay. In England.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he said he took the picture. I'm just saying it looks like a bad camera picture of anything.
What was his name again, you said?
Mark Davis.
Mark Davis?
Mm-hmm.
That's the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh. So let's talk, before we take our ad break.
Okay.
Let's talk about some of these groups of encounters again. So the real big one that started this whole thing off was the 1976, the old church.
Right, yep.
And actually, Lost Tapes did an episode about the Owl Man with one of the little girls. Do you remember what Lost Tapes was?
No.
Okay, Animal Planet did, like, found footage episodes of cryptids.
Oh, okay.
And they'd be like, like the White River Monster, and everybody always dies in the end.
Oh, okay.
It's like, they're a little bit horror-y for Animal
Planet. Animal Planet, yeah. I wouldn't expect that.
But they, like, somebody, the police find the camera. Like, they did the White River Monster, Oklahoma Octopus, the Bear Lake Monster, the Kraken, I think Plessy, one of the plesiosaur type monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Bigfoot a couple times, Dogman, time or two.
Gotta have Bigfoot and Dogman.
Or Lizard Man.
Ooh.
So they had some interesting, it was a neat show.
Right? It had some heavy hitters.
Yeah. So when they did this one, that they had it follow, like, so one of these girls had grown up and was living in America now. And a different church started having these demonic Owlman creatures.
Gotcha.
And it was after the grandma then.
Hmm. Okay.
Because she was one of the little girls from the 70s.
Right. She's grown up. It's like
or one of the teenagers from the 70s.
Like Wendy from Hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming back after.
Yeah. After the grandkids.
So that was kind of what it was about. And they said it was basically an old curse and it had to be attached to the church and stuff like that.
Hmm.
But these first early sightings were pretty much just young girls. You have any thoughts about that? The 1976.
Well, if it's their energy or something that it's drawn to, or I mean, it's got to be some connection, what frequency, whatever they're putting out that makes them, I guess, a magnet for this type of thing. I don't know.
So unlike the Mothman of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, there doesn't seem to be a hard stop
for
the sightings.
Okay. So
there's big gaps.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
There's 1988, 1970, 1990s, and
2000s. 2013.
Like in the 1990s, there was pretty much one or two a year, maybe. Unverifiable.
Okay.
Somebody just said they'd seen the thing.
Mm.
And you know how it is with this stuff. In 2000s. And then in the 2000s, there was a couple where people would put their name to stuff. And then the Association of Black Magic. And like we talked about in the season finale, that just because somebody is a little different in the town, a lot of times there can be that cruelness.
Yeah.
Where people blame him. He may not have been doing anything with dark magic. Like, actually.
Shoot, you do that stuff too.
Which stuff?
Blame people because they look a little different in town. Like they might be a drifter or something, and you're like, yep, bad guy.
When do I do that?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Do you know how many straight people we took into our house growing up?
I know. I guess not everyone knows that, but, you know, I'm just being an idiot.
We are the least judgy people.
Right.
I do not care. You throw me off. No, so yeah, this could, I don't know if he was actually using dark magic. There are plenty of people that assert that he was, and there are plenty of people that assert he wasn't, at least wasn't responsible for this.
I'm sure he was, though.
Yeah. Just you know, that, like the witch.
Right, yeah.
The Yoza Yazoo witch.
Yeah, she's so guilty because she's different.
There is a t-shirt being made. I got confirmation that somebody's working on that art.
Oh, a t-shirt. Okay.
With me.
Nice. As a wizard?
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to see it.
I hate this town, and this town hates me. And then 2013, a lady had shared her encounter for 2007 from the lock.
Okay.
Which is not, I mean, it's not directly very close, but has that giant owl and gray connection. So that's kind of where we're, and then there's several others, you know, still with grays, and it's still with the new paranormal researcher saying that they had seen one and it had attacked them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll take an ad break. Before we go, remember, check out Junior Anglers of Indian Lake. If you want to sign your kids up, the link's below. If you want to volunteer or donate stuff, time, money, or like items to help the kids out, you can use that link below. The people put on are really good people. They help a lot of kids. I know they're getting the kids out with it being a little warmer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a really good organization.
Yep.
Check them out. What, do you have something else to add?
I'm saying it's starting to get warmer out, so warm up them poles and get outside and get them in the water and catch some fish this summer. Future anglers of Indian Lake.
Future anglers.
Anglers, yeah. Welcome to the latest episode of Cooking with J-Clone 77. And today I'm joined by a special guest, the Veggie Man. Say hello, Veggie Man. So you've got a special treat for us today. You're going to be cooking a new veggie dish, a vegan dish for us today. And what do you got on the menu? Ooh, artichoke asparagus spread, eh? Now, I don't particularly like this, but I'm going to go on a limb and give it a try. Oh my goodness. It's delicious. What's the secret ingredient? Flavors of the forest Bigfoot breath? Raw garlic dust? Wow. They freeze dry the highest quality of ingredients raw to capture the flavor you won't find in stores? Wow. Thank you, Veggie Man. I'm going to add this to my kitchen. That's Bigfoot breath by Flavors of the Forest. You can get yours at flavorsforest.com, and you can cook flavorsforest.com/corn, and you can cook just like the Veggie Man. Flavors of the Forest. Does it get any better?
Yes.
What? No, it doesn't.
With more flavors of the forest.
Oh, okay. Yes, you're right then. It does. It multiple varieties.
If you actually mix them, I do mix it every once in a while.
What two do you mix?
Sometimes I'll do the lion's mane. I only use that the first time, and then I'll use the regular
after. Okay. Yeah.
So if I'm like doing, I know we shouldn't, this is a food podcast, but I'm doing pork or something like that, and I want the char the first time. That crust is super good with the lion's mane.
Ooh, okay.
And then I'll just add a little bit more of the normal garlic later.
A little extra, just flavor. Hit a flavor.
Yeah.
It is. Very flavorful. Sorry.
We're so sick.
Yeah. It's a rough one, guys. We're sorry. Thanks for hanging in there with us, but we're dying.
We're dying. We didn't want to give up our one extra week yet.
Yeah, we're not doing it. We're here for you. We're doing this for you.
We are. All right. Let's talk about what this thing could be. And there were some others that, I don't know, other people had connected. Like, there was a UFO Owlman sighting.
Okay.
Where, and this, that maybe inherited its own episode, because it was also in England, but I don't know if it really, it's just weird, where an Owlman had come out of a UFO.
Mm.
And have you ever seen, and this is for some maybe our younger listeners, one of the Ben 10 series?
I have not.
So one of the aliens is called Jet Ray.
Okay.
He's basically a humanoid, atmospheric stingray.
Okay.
Or manta ray. So he's got like two horns on his head. The Owlman that came out of the UFO really reminds me of that thing.
Hmm.
Where its head, they kind of described it like your Blemmies, where its head and face was like in its chest.
Yeah.
But bird or avian still style, but these big halfway between leathery wings and bird wings.
I mean, that sounds like, excuse me, sounds like, you know, like a manta ray when you're at the, I don't know, aquarium and they come swimming up to the glass. You see their face, their mouth. It does look like it's in their chest.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, if they're coming at you like that.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes. My gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dog-proof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner! Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
This will be the most edited episode ever.
Probably.
I mean, there's still going to be sniffs and coughs in it.
Yeah, there's been a lot.
No, so, yeah, Manta Ray shape. But, yeah, so he came out. Kids had seen it.
Yep.
And described it as, like, there's all kinds of undescribable technology. You know, just seeing buttons and lights and stuff from the UFO.
Oh, from the UFO. Yeah. Okay.
Just, you know, most of the stuff they couldn't recognize.
It was just tech.
Yeah, the UFO vibe almost gives me more of that, the Scumbia space penguin vibe.
Okay.
So when you see in it, the guy, the farmer, seeing the Scumbia space penguins, it was just that collage of colors.
Inside, too.
That's what I'm saying. See, yeah. When the door was open, nothing was there. It was just a collage of like psychedelic colors.
What do you think that is, though?
That may be our brain. Like the same thing when we talk about shadow people. Some shadow people may not be blacker than black. It may just be that's our brain's way of rationalizing a shape there.
Do you think it's just us perceiving it through our light spectrum?
The best we can.
Yeah.
So the light that it's emitting through our visible light spectrum.
Right, which is rainbowy.
Yeah. But yeah.
Ray G. Biv.
Yeah. So that visible light, there's probably a lot more that we can't see that it's reflecting or producing.
Right, yeah. So we just,
so you may not be able to see the panels. Yeah. You may not be able, if there's technology and there are more penguins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could fully see that. Mm. I could also see that your brain, there may being any actual light being produced there, and that's just something your brain's throwing on it.
Right, yeah.
Just being like,
filling in the gaps.
Here's something there. There's something there. I can't let you see a hole in reality.
Because our brains do that every second. It fills in the gaps. What's that one experiment? I know there's one.
Well, the duck experiment.
No, that's one, yeah. Everyone's a mallard.
Yeah. I've just seen that again today. Like, not today. This over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I know. I was on the phone with you when you saw it. You were like, oh my gosh. I think there's a, you say?
They were, were they redheads or canvasbacks?
Canvasbacks.
I think they were canvasbacks.
That sounds really weird to me.
Which looks nothing like a mallard. But my brain first said that there was mallards and geese.
Yeah.
And there were.
Well, we were mid-conversation. You just stopped. You go, I think there's a couple canvasbacks in there.
Pretty rare here.
What? You're like, oh, sorry, I'm driving by. Just
ducks.
Oh.
No, so yeah. So let's talk about what this owl man could be.
Okay.
First thing, a lot of people suggested this. It's an owl.
Just an owl. With the glowing red eyes.
A European eagle owl, a European great horned owl, and then the kids, especially from the original encounters, had maybe dramatized or inflated the presence of the creature in their head. Where, you know, their fear had added the glowing red eyes or the size of it. Because great horned owls and Eurasian eagle owls are quite large animals.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah. So they're 3 foot tall. So a kid seeing one flying at them, now they're 5 foot tall.
Okay.
And the owls can kind of do that hover thing if the wind's right. You've seen hawks and do
right.
that stuff
where,
like that.
Where they're going against the wind, they're literally floating in place.
Yeah.
Their head's like stable.
And the church may have been a nest for one of these creatures.
Mm.
So the owl, that may have been why it was seen so frequently in that direct woods and the church.
It was eaten and living.
It may have been living in the bell tower of that church.
Which birds do.
Yeah, barred owls, barn owls, even some of the bigger species will take, especially tall human structures,
mm-hmm.
and make their nest out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it could be an owl. What do you think about this?
The only reason I don't, on the big red eyes and then whatever behaviors that were witnessed, the one that comes to mind the most that says it's not just an owl is that one where it was a gray alien that transformed into it.
And she just got confused.
Yeah, because sometimes when owls walk around the ground, they look like smooth, big-eyed, walking alien men, boys.
I could see it in the right light.
Yeah, in the right light with their arms and legs and wings. Looks like gray alien.
I could see it. You've seen owl chicks, and they looked... You've seen owl chicks, and they look just like gray aliens.
Yeah. No, they don't. Well, okay, yes, they kind of do.
What do you mean they don't? They stand up like a human.
No.
And they have the big eyes.
Owl chicks. We're talking chicks, though. Hairless. Flightless.
All owls are hairless.
Featherless, you know what I mean.
I know.
Well, I don't know. When I think of, like, little baby birds, like, that first set of... I think it's like, I call it
a down. Hair. It's called down.
Right, I know. But it looks like little puffy hair.
Especially on robins. Robins look like Bernie Sanders.
What do you mean? It's white?
Yeah, the baby robins.
Really?
Nothing about Bernie Sanders. It's just they look just like him.
Now,
universally. Really? Yes.
I'll have to see that.
You have to, everybody Google pictures. They look like the same. They look like the same being. No, I don't think that's an owl either.
Right, yeah.
I don't, but I could see if it stopped, right? If it was done, one and done. Yeah, I could see an owl.
Mm-hmm.
And even some owls, like snowy owls and great horned owls, will become extremely aggressive, even towards humans and houses, when they start making a nest.
Mm, okay.
Snowy owls have been known to attack houses in pairs.
Ooh.
And remove like the siding and stuff off them because the house is too close to the nest they built.
Makes sense.
They're pretty good parents. Owls are. Snowy owls and great horned owls have also been witnessed like killing eagle chicks and taking out competition for their own babies. There's a video you can find of that where there's bald eagle's nest. You just see this owl keeps flying in and taking a chick every time.
Gosh, ruthless.
They are. No, so you're going to go no on the owls? You're going to give me a percentage?
Zero.
Zero? Come on.
Yep, zero. Oh, the other one where she, he or she, I can't remember now, but... witnessed it, she, when she awoke from her daze and seen the owl creature flying up into the air without flapping its wings, just kind of hovered straight up.
So that is another big connection with the Mothman.
Yeah.
A lot of that flying without flapping kind of stuff.
Yeah, like a frequency thing.
And even the Chicago Mothman has some of that.
But I wonder, too, if you know, like when a camera, people film birds and cameras.
Yeah, the shutter speed.
Yeah, it looks like, I wonder if it's, could be something like that too, the way you're perceiving it, because if it's an extra dimensional creature,
sure, yeah, it could be something that's vibrating or its frequency is so fast that,
or just at just that looks right,
like, yeah, have you seen, like, I know what you're saying. You watch fans sometimes and fans look like they're not moving
at all. A helicopter's
a good one.
Yeah, it just looks like the four blades are in the same spot,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, makes no sense.
It's just because that's how fast your eye can perceive it.
Yeah.
Your eye can't see it moving in between, so it's just like, well, that's there,
catches it at that one spot. Yeah.
Yeah, no, so I can see it. Next one, this is kind of a weird one I see brought up. And actually, I believe Peyton brought it up for the Star Child series a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Maybe this is one of our human predators.
Oh, okay.
This is an actual ancient creature from the early times of humans.
Yeah.
And there's just not that many of them left because owls are revered and feared in tons and tons and tons of cultures. They have enough of a human look to be humanoid, especially if we're talking more of maybe an earthen monster or a predator of our species.
Okay.
That maybe that's why we have such dread and fright and stuff. Like, even though this thing didn't do a whole lot, that your brain is being fried because your brain is like, that's one of the monsters that we used to talk about in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that used to come into the huts and get us.
I mean, did this thing actually kill anybody?
Not that we know of.
Right, that we know of, I guess. But, I mean, we also don't know if it actually did, though, either. I mean, can't say it did. If it didn't, it might just all be a, I don't know the right word, but it just might all be a perceptive show, you know, just to scare you, but it's not actually deadly or dangerous. I don't know.
An intimidation display.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But for what reason? I don't know. I mean,
to intimidate.
Or to harvest your fear energy.
Your meat jelly.
Ugh. Yikes.
Yeah, I'm not the one doing it.
I guess you're not.
It's owl monsters.
Yeah.
They're after your meat jelly.
Oh, yeah, no, not again.
No, so you don't like human predators?
I mean, I never...
You just sound like you were going through puberty.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, when I get high up, I still can't do... I don't know I know my voice is starting to go. I can already see it again, feel it again. I like the idea. I think there's something to it. I don't know if it particularly applies in this case, though.
No, yeah. Yeah, I get it. So this is 1976. This is pretty late.
Yeah, 49 years ago.
Yeah, this isn't that old. You know what I'm saying? This doesn't have a super long history, but it's still seen.
Right.
What if this is a government-made monster?
No way.
What if this is one of the hybrid creatures?
Huh? The government, okay, let's pump the brakes real quick before we get into that. The
government wouldn't do that.
The government wouldn't do something that crazy, especially UK government. They're good guys, right?
That, and I don't even care about the UK government. I'm saying there's American government bases that nobody knew about in the 70s that are in the UK forest.
Oh, shoot. Oh, no way. We wouldn't do that.
Like
wouldn't,
all
oh,
the nukes
that. Oh.
That nobody knew about until the UFO was rubbing the ground where they were.
Right, yeah. That military base.
Mm-hmm. Rendlesham Forest incident.
Mm-hmm.
It actually happened twice in the UK at different nuclear outposts.
Oh, geez.
No, or this is one of those monsters that will either pop up around government bases.
Yes.
Stranger Things-esque things where, you know, they're doing experiments and these creatures...
opening dimensions and pulling these
are the byproducts,
through.
Like we talked about.
Yeah,
with the Mothman, the
Mothman, yeah, it's underneath safe. Underneath Point Pleasant, the bomb area.
Yeah, the TNT plant.
There we go.
So around military bases, you know, is it a byproduct? Did they make it? Is this a genetic splicing? This is the early days, as far as we know, of genetic splicing and, you know, embryology and stuff like that.
Early public days.
I mean, even now. It would be the early private days, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Because they didn't share that they were doing this stuff. Because I think Dolly the Sheep was in the 70s, late 70s.
I guess early days where it's now public knowledge.
Yeah.
But I bet you...
they were probably doing it in the 60s.
Yeah, I bet you it's been going on well long before that. That's not public or it's not become public.
I'd probably say the late 50s is probably where it started.
I bet you, as much as we've been doing this stuff, and especially those guys at that other show that... we produce. You can find it in the description below. I just feel like since World War II, and probably right before World War II, is when all the crazy was happening, and they needed those two wars to distract everyone and kind of funnel us all into a...
I do think...
way to accept all this stuff.
I do think that World War... I do think World War II was used... In the world as a giant government grab to just be accepting of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think the government made this monster? The U.S. government or European government or England government? Do you think this is Queen Elizabeth?
I want to say, no, I don't think that.
Okay, just asking. Just asking the hard questions.
Because I don't think that royal family is that powerful.
No, yeah, you think they're just figureheads?
Well, I mean, I think... yeah, I think they are. I mean, but I think they do have power. I think they've come from a bloodline that's
ancient
and full of royalty. But none of that matters to me, and I don't care about any of that. And I mean, it means nothing to me. It means nothing. So yes, they're powerless figures in my world and in my view of society.
So did they make the Mothman?
No, I don't think they made it because I don't think they have that ability to do it. However, I do think it was either if it's not a made thing, it was a summoned thing.
So, yeah.
So however you want to split that hair.
Yeah, do you think the government was purposely, either U.S. or the U.K. government, they were both there at the time, making these creatures? Because they pop up still everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere around, especially, not only... but especially around U.S. military bases, even in foreign countries, they pop up the monsters, these weird things, just pop up on the outside. Everything from that giant worm to, you know, dog men and Bigfoot being more common, but like giant worms and other big bugs and stuff like that.
I feel like, I don't know if they could be made, like they could be, you know, CRISPR lab made with... demon souls injected into their bodies, you know, to give them life and give them consciousness. Could be something like that, or it could be a interdimensional creature that...
whatever they're doing is a byproduct.
Oh, yeah, or we're going into that world and fishing them out and pulling them back.
Them out on purpose.
Bringing them into this one, to do whatever deed that could be done. Maybe these interdimensional creatures can naturally host, you know, like a demon spirit or something. Because, you know, like with us, we have to allow it in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to accept it in.
So you're going like the flesh suit route.
Yeah.
So this is just a vessel.
Yeah.
Maybe, Joel talked about that a lot.
Maybe they're pulling these creatures from that dimension into this world, and it's a vessel that they can easily
inhabit.
Because maybe in that world, they're already inhabiting them. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it comes from a lower dimensional plane where they already exist. Maybe this is their physical form. And pulling them into this reality, and they can, I guess, exist in this, in our 3D world. I don't know.
No, I liked all of it.
It's the world's weird. We don't know how it works. Anyone says they know how it works, they're lying, or they're pretending. They're pretending like they are smart and they know. None of us know. Nobody knows. There's one person that knows, and it's God.
Okay.
God knows.
I was like, well, I don't know where we're, what ride we're taking, but okay.
Right.
So, I thought I heard other music there for a second.
Huh?
I thought I heard some different kind of intro music there for a second.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Maybe we spend too much time around those others. But I don't know. I don't think the queen.
Don't ever trust the government.
Yeah, don't trust the government because they don't know, and they think they know, and they say we are the science. That but don't and trust them. No, when people tell you to trust them, you got to have a good track record for me to trust you. That's through my life experience. I found that out. It's like people we were told we can trust over and over and over has let us down or lied to us, and then after the fact, always we were wrong. Apologize. Moving on, next one, but still trust us. Enough, you know, so many times can only go by to where it's like, okay, start questioning. When people say, trust me, well, what's your track record before I can trust you? If I don't know you, I need to see some paperwork. Where have you been?
All right, so what's your percentage of government monster either made, manifested, or accidentally brought through?
80%.
Ooh, that's a good one. Make second to last one.
Okay.
It's one of the Mothman's on vacation.
Ah, okay.
No, is this just like, so when he left Point Pleasant, he went to Chernobyl, and then he ended up in Cornwall for a while?
Because there was one scene in Chernobyl, wasn't there?
Kinda. Remember, we talked about the validity of that story.
Okay.
May not have been fully there.
Okay, fair. I do remember it slightly.
Yeah, we talked about the story, whether it was actually true or not.
True, that's a different story.
Or they hit a sandhill crane because the world was blowing up over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Could it be the same creature as Mothman? Like, are you saying
I don't know if it's individual.
Or the same type of species?
At least maybe even the original encounter, because it's not that long after the Mothman encounters.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
That's a long flight, though.
Yes, that's the big thing. I mean, there's a little bit
of an ocean.
But if it's an interdimensional, whatever, supernatural being, that probably wouldn't be a big deal. I mean, no. Who knows how their physics apply. There's enough similarities that it could be a Mothman, but there's also enough small differences it might be something else.
What do you think of the Chicago Mothman style? You're talking about the backwards leg. A lot of those Chicago Mothmans had the backwards legs.
Did they? Is that where I was remembering it from?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was tons of different creatures. And those seemed to be a lot more even demonic.
Yeah.
Gargoyle-esque.
Well, I think
monster leg.
Anything with the red eyes. And I'm glad you brought up gargoyles because I thought of that earlier. The way they describe some of the manta ray thing you were talking about with the leathery wings and things like that. All the old cathedrals and stuff throughout Europe have gargoyles all over them.
It does kind of look like I've seen some of the witness drawings. It does kind of look like a gargoyle.
So maybe back then these things maybe gargoyles, whatever you want to call gargoyles. Maybe that's just our modern day interpretation of them or name for them. But maybe these things were more commonplace.
Like dragons?
Dragon, yes.
And, now rare.
Uh-huh. Maybe it was, they are from a different dimension and they were bleeding into our reality a lot more frequently. Hmm. And maybe that's why we were putting them on buildings as, for reasons unbeknownst to me, but maybe they were just more involved with people in everyday life.
Yeah, that's the TV show Gargoyles.
That was a good show, by the way.
I remember that's what it was. That's why humans, after the gargoyles all died, that's why humans kept putting gargoyles on it, because they had a special relationship.
Mm.
Gargoyles were protectors.
Interesting. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
It's a good show.
I remember I had a VHS.
Rewatching it with Atlas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I had the VHS movie on tape. Well, yeah, on VHS tape. And it flipped open and it had like an extra board game inside the case. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. High class stuff.
Yeah, you know, you bring up the gargoyle thing. And this, some of the depictions of this, really, some of the kids' drawings from the 76 encounters really do look gargoyle-esque.
The only thing that doesn't to me, the only thing is the feathers.
Well, some gargoyles had feathers.
Did they now?
Yeah, so some of them were almost more griffin-like. It depends on which gargoyle and how old it actually is.
Yeah.
There's thousands of different gargoyle types.
Right, yep.
But there are a lot of gargoyles, especially on the chest, that are drawn with feathers.
Huh. Okay, it's that one I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, and even the giant black talons and stuff like that this thing has. It really does look like a gargoyle. Now that you put it out there. So maybe it's a gargoyle.
Let's chalk that one up on the list.
Yeah, maybe it's one of the last gargoyles.
The last gargoyle.
Which we talked about with the Chicago Mothman stuff. We talked about gargoyle-esque a lot.
Uh-huh.
Much more scary looking. They might not necessarily be bad things.
Right, yeah.
But remember the Chicago Mothman? It was watching a lot of kids.
Yeah.
It was being weird with kids. And this one was being weird with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, another flying entity, the Bat Squatch.
Bat Squatch. Is that another one on your list?
Yeah, but large-eared. Everybody always talks about how big the ears are on this thing. Big talons, huge wings. Didn't have feathers, but it had fur. But remember what it is? Who's seen it the most? Besides that one truck driver. But kids.
Hmm.
Fall in the summer camp. The girls in the tent. All that stuff. And I don't know if it's more that... So lighter animal, flying animals, generally speaking, are lightly built, even though they're huge.
Right.
Like a Quetzalcoatlus, I think, only weighed 500 pounds. And it was 22 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, they have to be to fly. You have to be lightly built. So maybe it's, if it's prey drive, like we talked about with Bat Squatch, it just may be a much more, quote unquote, fair fight for it. A child or a sub-adult human is much easier than an adult human. First off, probably couldn't even carry an adult human off the ground.
Right. So it's, you think it's after the, are attracted to the kids as more of a prey source.
Or at least maybe an initial, because it didn't do anything after.
Right. Right.
So it may be just like, oh, that's prey size, and all right, there's two of them.
And check it out.
I don't want to mess with that. There's two of them.
Mm.
Or there's, you know, there's an adult nearby, or...
So you're talking more...
Like that eagle that picked up
like
that toddler.
Carnivore behavior.
Yeah, predatory.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think the Bat Squatch acted like that a ton, but it just wasn't big enough to do anything about it. It like was just starving.
Trying to get that guy under the car.
Yeah, and in trying to pick up the tent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It just wasn't actually, it was starving. It wasn't big enough to do anything. It was just acting like a crazy hungry animal.
Right. I mean, because normally it's used to just eating cave animals and creatures.
Blind raccoons.
Right, yeah. Easy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my last one is gray aliens.
Okay.
What if this is the abduction mask?
Mm.
So what if it was, when it was hovering above the ground, that was actually the UFO?
Ah.
When people seen it floating, it was actually the UFO. When they had encounters with the grays, it was actually the grays. And then they end up seeing it change into it. Whether it's actually, like you mentioned much earlier in the episode, whether it's actually changing into this creature or if it's that screen memory. It's what it's putting on you.
Right.
Covering up technology or mysticism or whatever, because I don't know what grays are. I talk about them, everything from modern day fae to, you know, mechanical monsters made by the government.
To homunculi. Yeah. Yeah.
So what if these are gray aliens? What if these are screen coveries for everything from the UFOs to the actual creatures?
Oh, I totally think that. I think, I really think that the screen memory thing or just that perception changing film, I don't know what how else you want to put it, but they're putting that mask, that they're injecting those images into your mind to make you think that's what you're seeing. And, you know, I think they can do that with sight, with sound, and with smell now, too.
Mm, sure, sure.
I just think as we've done this show, the longer we've done it, I really think that's what people are, I guess, experiencing most of the time when it comes to even just grays and or not grays in general. I think when you see a gray, you see a gray. And I think if that gray disappears or you see something else, that's not real.
It's still a gray.
It's still just a gray, yeah. But they're putting these perceptions in your mind and I guess just injecting images into your perceivable reality. But it's really still there. It's the same thing you saw before. Mm. Like you said, with it being the UFO ship. That's pretty interesting.
That's what I thought of with the hovering and it not doing anything.
Makes sense why the wings aren't flapping, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's just putting that image up there.
Yeah. And the connection with orbs, I always, even the Bigfoot and the orbs, I jump more towards the alien, whatever the aliens are.
Yeah.
Kind of side of it.
Yeah. I'm going to even expand on that. I don't know. It's making me think more. With them able to control your perception or manipulate your perception, mm-hmm. I guess as I get older, the more and more I think about it, and your mind really does create the world around you.
100%.
And that's for that. So for them to be able to manipulate your mind, they're manipulating your world. And so if you just take that and apply with everything you consume, from government news to media to just the little everyday things that you're reading, watching, listening to, experiencing, it's going to have an effect on your mind, which in turn will have an effect on how you perceive the world around you, which then will, you know, affects how you feel personally inside. So I think that's where they attack that route. They go that route because it's basically the source to you, to getting to you.
I mean,
it's getting to your mind and your emotions, your thoughts and feelings.
Makes me think about the Nobel Prize last year with the localized reality experiment.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where they kind of proved that reality is individualized and localized.
Mm-hmm.
That reality only takes a direct shape when it's being observed by a conscious observer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the buildup of the double slit experiment. You know, that's the double slit experiment's been around forever. And this is now the more fleshed out version of it,
mm-hmm.
to where it's not just particles and like the shape of atoms and stuff like that. I was just watching a video explaining that atoms or how molecules are built.
Yeah.
It's guesswork.
Yeah.
But when you take a microscopic picture of it, then they do that thousands and thousands of times, and they just, so the electrons on the outside will be in places more frequently than not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how they build those models. Wherever the actual electrons end up being the most frequently.
Right.
They're like, for that model, you know, just do that.
Because, yeah, when you boil it down, you get closer and closer. There's more and more space than there is solid, and there is particle.
Yeah.
So it's just weird to think about. The further in, there's less. I don't know.
So you're going... You think this is connected to aliens?
Yeah.
Whatever aliens are.
A mind.
Memory, screen memory?
Yeah, about said the wrong word. Just playing with your mind.
Evoking mind meld.
Yeah, there you go. You ever watched Men Talk the Mind Taker?
Yes.
From
the big Prime Manus guy.
Was he Men Talk? No. Men Talk's the guy. He's from... Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Yeah.
He's the other judge.
Yes.
Men Talk. Yes. He already knows how every trial is supposed to end because he can read their minds, but he goes through the whole process anyways.
You have to. It's a parliamentary procedure.
Oh, but he's so ridiculous. Oh, we just had a Dover demon crash into the studio.
May leave that in.
We just got attacked by I think an owl man or a Dover demon.
How hard he slams the door.
I don't know what part you didn't cut it off yet, but Atlas just crashed into the
studio
like, and then high.
Like Kool-Aid Man. I think I cut it off right at the high.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, do you think there's anything to do with the dark magic, that original guy, that doc guy?
I think...
I didn't go into it very well. Because to me, when I was researching it, the string seemed to be very loose.
Okay.
Like, I got a lot of those vibes of just, it's a more unique individual in the community.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of pointing being like, other weird thing happened. It's the weird guy's fault.
Yeah, it's just someone to blame.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that happens every time in every situation, just about, if there's a mystery involved.
Yeah, if there's somebody that's not conventionally normal,
they're going to be the one to blame immediately, because apparently everybody else that acts like everybody else, you're the normal ones in their world. So, yeah, anyone outside of the box that just doesn't act and do and say what everyone else thinks, does, says, and whatever, you're the weird one now.
So you're going gray alien creature thing? Something connected with aliens?
Yeah, I
that's
could
where
be.
I'm at.
It could be, yeah. It's
out between of all that, those and the government.
Between that and the government experiments, because those two can also, I think, are hand in hand as well. I think, I do believe that our governments are, the people running our governments are privy to these extra dimensional beings, these beings that are not of this earth, of this frequency. Diabolical beings of negativity.
We should definitely do the alien contracts with the government stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that'll be next week. We'll see. I got to look at what's on the schedule.
And I think they're all in cahoots. I think they know. And maybe they're the ones that are, maybe them being, they're the ones controlling our government. I don't know.
Oh, sure. I could believe it.
I mean, they might have them in a vice or in a grip where,
so I'm going,
they're manipulating us.
I'm going the same thing. Gray alien monsters or government-made monsters or government byproduct of Stranger Things-esque experiments.
Right, yeah. I feel that way too, yeah.
All right. I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 99.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crib is the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!